bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, we're going to be talking about the children of the world. The children are our future, my friends, and it's so important that we protect them, defend them, guide them and direct them, and do all that we can to help them to build a good life. And today we're going to be focusing a little bit on the Word of God and how it relates to the Virtus program, which is a program focused on protecting God's children. We're also going to make the analogy of how 9/11 actually was pulled off by 19 terrorists who came into our country on student visas. So I want to start off with the Word of God today because this is so important. When we talk about the sexual abuse of children, we know that 1 in 10 men who have grown up were given testimony that they were abused as children. And 2 in 10 women also were abused as children. So this is a prominent number that we need to do all that we can to reduce it to zero. Basically, like aviation, you know, where we have accidents and incidents, our goal in aviation is to reduce those accidents and incidents down to a zero number every year. And so let's go into the Word of God and to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. And here's what it says about child abuse or people who prey on children. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So, by their fruits you will know them. And so when we talk about the abuse of children, my friends, in the Virtus program, we highlight some of the attributes of perpetrators who prey on children and give some of the testimonies from children themselves who have been abused. And so I want to start with that because it's such an important topic. And, some of the perpetrators who have preyed on children were teachers, priests, camp counselors, and they have made an impact on the lives of these children in a negative way. And one of the characteristics of these perpetrators is to, once again, cultivate a relationship, to develop trust, so that they can do exactly as they want to. And so once the trust is developed between the child and the individual, or the family and the individual, manipulation then takes place. And this is important, my friends, that we recognize this to help to prevent this from happening at all. And so on our last program, we covered some of this information, which is so important, but I want to reinforce it because it is such a challenge for families throughout the world who have been victims of this kind of abuse. And, you know, we have mental abuse, physical abuse, financial abuse. And today we're talking about sexual abuse, really, which which goes into the mind of the individual, truly being a victim. And it can last for a lifetime. It can last for decades. And some of the things that are important to talk about is the victim themselves. These victims sometimes will feel that it was their fault, or that they felt dirty. They develop a depression, which is really severe, and possibly try to attempt suicide. So one of the things we want to do is look at how to prevent these types of situations so that we can help our kids to live a good life. And it's important. One of the things we've learned, my friends, about perpetrators, the people who prey on children, is that they are manipulative. Once again, they build trust, and they eventually cultivate a relationship to the point where they can manipulate that individual into a position where they are, vulnerable. And so we want to avoid those things. They're manipulative. This kind of sexual abuse can happen anywhere and any time. And they normally will buddy up with an individual. They will show them a lot of attention, sometimes bring gifts. Sometimes they'll trick them. But they're building trust with the individual and the family. Also, they try to win them over. And it's psychological grooming, if you will. Excuse me. And again, in the Virtus program, which is such a wonderful program that's designed to protect God's children, and for people who are working in the church, people who are priests or deacons, anybody who is in that specific situation must go through this program, once again, for the protection of our kids. And we know that most people are good people, and I truly believe that in the world there are more good people than people with bad intentions. But sometimes we have people of this nature. So our job is to prevent this from happening. And we want to make sure that we're helping our kids to really stay clear of these types of individuals. So this is where we have to be smart as parents and grandparents to keep an eye on our children's technology and to monitor their laptops, monitor their tablets and their telephones so they're not going on sites which can make them vulnerable to manipulators or perpetrators who are out there with one thing in mind, that is to, you know, molest those children, to interact with them in a negative way. And so we've got to be smart, and to protect our children, we have to monitor their technology. And I hope that you have a good command of this in your daily walk, because children, you know, they're very busy with school and sports, but the other side is we're also busy with work and other things that require time away from our kids. So we've got to be cognizant of the fact that technology plays a big role in the abuse, sexual abuse of children. Another area we want to talk about is the perpetrators themselves. Now, in one of the videos, one of the teachers who was involved with this child, who asked her to come after school and to stay after school to help improve her grades. And so every day this young lady came, and the teacher really cultivated that relationship with her. She was very warm and approachable. And she basically began hugging this young lady too often. She began touching her, and eventually one day she kissed her on the face and made her feel very uncomfortable. Excuse me. But the teacher kept her after school, and in the end, the student was wondering, why is it that only I am here after school? There are no other students, no other teachers. And this went on day after day. But no other teacher stepped up. No other teacher was inquisitive as to why this child is here every day. And so this actually took place for her. Another characteristic is that we have these perpetrators are very inquisitive. They're very patient. They're more excited to be around the kids than around adults. Also, the adults will talk about sex or show pornography to manipulate the child eventually. But they give them access to pornographic pictures, and that can be done through the internet or through magazines. And so, you know, one of the characteristics of the perpetrators, once again, is that the media, you know, is part of this. And they have access to those kinds of things, and they introduce it to the children. Another area of of an attribute that we want to talk about is that they tend to separate the kids from other kids or from adults, putting them into an isolated place where they can manipulate and abuse them. So we want to remember that if we're running programs or ministries, we want to monitor those ministries and programs. We want to have a lot of supervision by adults. We don't want to isolate our children in different areas. We want to make sure that there are no private rooms where an adult can take a child into that room and molest them. We also want to make sure that there's enough adult supervision, you know, within the program, and that adults are involved, parents are involved in the program. And beyond that, we want to interview the people who are working, you know, in these kinds of programs and ministries. We want to make sure we're doing excellent background checks with face-to-face interviews. We don't want to underestimate these people, because this is how molestation can take place. In addition to that, we want to use the analogy of 9/11, because when 9/11 took place, you know, it was a terrible day for the world and for our nation, the people of America. But these 19 terrorists came into our nation on student visas. They pretended to be students working towards a degree, and they got lost in our system. They were trained at many of our large flight schools, where you could pay for training with cash, and no background checks were done. And so with that, you know, we have guys who are familiar with large and heavy aircraft, and they were trained, you know, enough so that they can actually operate these aircraft and take over a cockpit. But before they did, while they were at the flight schools, they were, once again, like the children who were abused by perpetrators, they were first, you know, buddying up to other instructor pilots, going out to dinner with them, having a drink with them at the bar, going to the gym with them, and they were basically living a life as a friend to many people. But on the day of 9/11, that is when they did their work. So there was, you know, that cultivation of relationships, pretending to be someone they're not, with other intentions, a second agenda. And then on the, at the time that 9/11 took place, there was that manipulation, and the actual event, you know, was implemented. So I use that as an analogy to the sexual abuse of children, because of the cultivation of that relationship to earn the trust, pretending to be someone else, And that's what happens in the abuse of children. There are people who are pretending to be your friend, that they have your best interest at heart, but it's not true. They are wolves in sheep clothing. And this is it. God says, beware of false prophets, meaning people who tell you, you know, good things, false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. And we want to be careful of that, my friends, because there are ravenous wolves out there in different categories. And we see it in many categories, but here today we're focusing on the, you know, sexual abuse of children, because the children are the future of the world. Our children are the future of America, and we want to protect them. We want to defend them. We want to make sure that they're okay, that when your child gets on the bus today to go to school, they're going to be okay. When you drop your children off at school and they walk through that entryway and you don't see them till 3:30, they're okay. They're not going to be abused or vulnerable by anyone in that school or in the church. Because we know that in the church there was an abundance of abuse by priests towards, you know, young children. Our job is to make sure we cleanse the church of that element. We want to make sure we educate and motivate all people to do the right things. But we have to protect and defend our kids. So when you drop a child off who's an altar server, or you drop a child off on a bus trip or a mission trip, and that you're aware of who's on the trip and that they have, the best intentions for your child and my child, your grandchild and my grandchild. It's so important, my friends, that we don't underestimate people and that our expectations are high, but we trust and verify. Okay, we trust, but we verify to make sure the kids are okay and they're in good hands at all times. This is important, my friends, that we never be one-on-one with a child. And this can be in a school, could be in a rectory, it could be in a sacristy, it could be in a camp situation where camps are helping children to enjoy the summer program, and there's a lot of interaction between counselors and children. But we should never be in a one-on-one situation as adults with the child. There should always be other adults, other children who are present so that nothing is taking place. And we want to be sure of that. We want to be absolutely sure that, we're on board with this philosophy. It takes time paying attention to detail, so that we're not, letting our children down. And it's important, my friends, that children have an opportunity to give you feedback. So if you're an approachable parent and you're communicating well with your child, they're going to bring you information about what's going on in their lives, with their friends, with their teachers, with their coaches, with the priests, and with anyone who interacts with them. But if we're not approachable, if we shut them down, if we're too busy, if we're distracted, we're not listening, this is a problem. So we want to be engaged in our children's lives. We want to take the time. Now, the average father historically has spent 2 hours a week with their kids. So we've got to spend more time, and it's got to be quality time with those kids. It's important, my friends, because our children, once again, are the future of America, the future of the world. And this is, just a great opportunity here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison to bring you that message, because, once again, our children are vulnerable. They are at stake. Their lives are at stake. And we've had children in the WINGS program, which is Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth and Success, the Inmate Reentry and Recovery Program we've been doing for a long time, almost 3 decades. It began in 1993, and now we're here in the year 2022. And we used to say back then, when we began in our segment of Dreaming Big Dreams, Where will you be in the year 2020? And 20 years from now, where will you be? When we actually began the program in 1993, we'd say, where will you be in 20 years, in the year 2013? Well, now it's almost 30 years from that beginning, which was Our Lady of Calvary Elementary School in Northeast Philadelphia. And we also began in the public school system at Olney Elementary School. But I just tell you, in the WINGS program, my friends, we have dealt with thousands of men who have grown up with wounds from the past. And we had many, many men share with us, confide with us, because of the relationships that we actually had an opportunity to build with a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program inside prison walls. And we had a gentleman, and I've shared it before, but it's so important that we understand that these things can happen even in a home, even in a home where a family is living. And this gentleman, when he was 11 years old, was raped by his father. And he shared this with me one night at the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center. At 23 years old, an Army veteran, we had 50 men approximately in the classroom, and he asked me to, you know, if he could talk to me, and I said of course. So I went out into the hallway, and I asked him, you know, what can I do for you? And he said, I just want to tell you, Mr. Montone, I have something very heavy on my heart. It's been with me for years, and I need to talk to you about it. I said, of course, what can I do for you? He said, well, when I was 11 years old, my father raped me. And I said to him, that's a terrible thing. I said, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. I said, have you ever discussed it with your father? And he said, no, we've never talked about it. And I said, well, when was the last time you saw your father? He said, 2 years ago. So I said, you know, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you something right now that you have to forgive your father for what happened. I said, but your father owes you an apology. And it's important that we close the gap on those bad feelings. We heal the wound within your heart. And so we wrote a letter of forgiveness to his father with an extension of an invitation to join us in prison. And we extended that with a loving touch. And his father responded, my friends. He responded immediately. And within 30 days, within a month, his father came to visit him within the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center, within the Department of Prisons here in Philadelphia. And so he not only came to visit, but the first thing he did is apologize to his son for what had taken place 12 years before. And this individual who was in my program needed that closure. He needed to put that issue to bed. He needed his mind to be at rest and to not be focused on that terrible event that took place. And today he's a great advocate against sexual abuse of children because he walked that walk. And so together he and I, you know, wrote that letter. We constructed a letter which provided the forgiveness to the actual individual who had molested him. And then the individual responded. And that's the message that God gives us. He wants us to, you know, really provide forgiveness to those who wound us. But we also, if we can, get that apology, it helps to heal our individual wounds themselves, which is so important. And it's not always possible to get that because people have a lot of pride and ego, and they're unwilling to, show humility and make that apology. But we pray for that to happen for all of the children out there who have been molested. We pray that God will, you know, inspire them to write a letter to touch the heart of that individual out there and to get them to respond and join them in a conversation where we can understand the past wound. We accept the past wound because we can't change the past, and then we forgive that wound. and God gives us great peace. And in that environment, with a loving touch, very often people will make an apology, which is so important. Again, to close the wound, which has been within the heart of a person for many years. In this case, in this individual, 12 years he carried that wound, even into the Army, and today as a veteran. But I share that story with you, my friends, because, you know, if you're out there and you're a victim of sexual abuse as a child, this is one of the strategies that we use in the WINGS program. And, you know, writing a letter from the heart that's very, very heart-touching can change the picture. It's easy on the telephone to say something, then someone hang up on you, or voices to get loud, and all of a sudden you're interrupted. So taking the time to write a heartfelt letter and launching it, sending it to the heart and mind of that other person, is a beautiful thing. We've had great success with it. And it's important, my friends, because the children, once again, are our future. And to go forward as a man or as a woman, we really need to put these issues from the past to bed, and to go on to have great marriages and great family life with our children, helping to prevent those kinds of terrible things. And in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 to 15, it says this about the blessing of the children. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he placed his hands on them and he went away. But the Lord says in this paragraph, this passage, let the children come to me. So we want to be bringing our kids to the Word of God, into the hands of Jesus. We want to be putting our trust in the Lord and His Father where our children are concerned. We want to make sure that our children are protected, they are defended, and they are being nourished through the Word of God each and every day, every opportunity that we get, so that they can go on to live a great life. And my friends, if you have children and grandchildren, I ask you today to do everything that you can to make sure that your kids are growing up, learning about Jesus Christ and His Father, learning about the gospel message. And here at Holy Spirit, my friends, that's what we do. We help to bring the message of the gospel into the hearts and minds of other people. That's our show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day and enjoy our Lenten season. God bless.